This term, we are thinking about the church, and we're thinking about what Christ's church is all about. And we've said that Christ's church is a gospel church. That's what we did on the first week. Can anyone remember, children or adults, what we did on any of the other weeks? So the first one was, we're a gospel church, so we talked about what the gospel is. Anybody remember from any of the other weeks? Are you putting your hand up, Ben? No? We're a praying church, yeah. We had a praying church last week. If you didn't get one of those handouts with some ideas for praying, there's still a few of those around, or I can get you some. And it's all reprinted on the web, so we're a praying church. Anyone remember anything else? We haven't done that yet, I don't think. Good idea, though. It's not a building, we said that. Do you remember we did the, or we didn't, but Mark did the blue tack thing. What was that about? We're a church where people stick, yeah, we use a different word, but sticks are good enough. Belong. Church where people belong. I don't know if I'm going to ask anymore, I'm going to get really depressed. No. Can you remember what you had for breakfast this morning, anybody? So, we talked Bible as well. We said we're a church that's shaped by the Word of God. And there was one other one which was to do with the world. Part of a worldwide family. Okay, you can listen to any of these online, just as a bit of revision. So we're a gospel church where people belong, connected to a worldwide family, shaped by the Word of Christ, and last time, constant in prayer. This morning, Christ Church is a gospel church. Children, read it out for me. What does it say? Remembering the cross. Remembering the cross. And we're going to think this morning about what we call the Lord's Supper. Anyone know what else it's sometimes called? We sometimes call it the Lord's Supper. What else do we sometimes call it? Yes, some of us might call it remembering the Last Supper, yes?
Communion.
Yeah, we sometimes call it communion. Pardon? Bread and wine, yeah. We might just sometimes call it bread and wine. Sometimes we might call it the Lord's Table. And sometimes we might call it, or where I grew up we did, breaking of bread. You know, we've been kind of basing what we've been looking at in Acts 2, verse 42. And it says there about the various things that the early church did, that the first Christians did. And one of them was they broke bread together in each other's homes. Now, that might just be saying they were having meals together, but it might be saying that they were having the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine together. Probably it meant both. They were having the bread and the wine and remembering the cross and also having a meal together, which is a great idea to do those things at the same time. So that's what we're thinking about, the communion, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, the breaking of bread. And we're going to think about remembering and, there we are, the Lord's Supper. And we're going to think first of all about remembering. In that those verses we read, it said, do this. This is Paul talking about Jesus saying, do this, take the bread, take the wine, in remembrance of me. Now, remembrance is a bit of a fancy word, really, isn't it? It sounds a bit like remember, but it's not quite like remember. Remembrance really means an act of, guess what? An act of remembering, yeah. Remembrance is kind of an act of, a conscious effort to remember something really important. Kind of when you're revising for an exam, that's a sort of an act of remembrance. Any students remember any acts of remembrance you went through? Didn't call it that really, but yeah, it's an act of remembrance, trying really hard to remember those formulas or those dates or those people or what that bloke in that book was writing about. That's an act of remembrance, and sometimes we remember special events like we've just remembered, what was it we just remembered as a sort of country? Jubilee. Yeah. Queen Elizabeth being on the throne for 60 years. So that was a sort of a long ridiculously long act of remembrance that lasted 4 very rainy days, didn't it? But that was an act of remembrance. Sometimes we might have a very special meal to remember. Now, can anyone think, and you can probably guess really, but can anyone think of, apart from the Lord's Supper that we're going to think about, can you think of another meal where we remember something? Yes. Christmas. That's a very good idea. Didn't think of that one. Could have done that one, but no, that's not the one. Easter's another good meal we remember. I was thinking much more less religious about it all. I was thinking of something different. Pardon? New Year's is another good one. Birthday. Causeway team doing very well this morning. Yeah, birthday. So sometimes we might have a birthday meal and a birthday party to go with the meal. And we might have party rings. Who likes party rings? Now, me and Carol, I'm having this discussion. Should we give out the party rings now? Should we give them out later? Is it a distraction? What if there's additives in it? What if people get confused? What if they drop bits on the floor? So you're not having them. And these sort of biscuits, which are a bit boring, but they kind of fill you up. Sometimes have those at parties, don't we? So we've got some party biscuits, and as soon as the sermon's finished, if your parents think it's all right, and if they don't think it's all right, they've got to come up the front and rugby tackle them. As soon as the sermon's finished and the meeting's finished and the music's playing, you can come up and grab some of those biscuits, one each. Okay, so that's a party meal, and this is a, what's this? A birthday cake. Anyone want to eat this? No? Why not? I was going to offer it to some of you, but no, it's not made of nice cakey material. It's made of, I don't know what it's made of. Plastic, I suppose. Yeah. So that's a kind of a meal where we remember. And birthdays are nice to remember. We think of all the years that the person has lived. They might have lived 6 or 7, or they might have lived 60 or 70 years. And we remember that, and we have a celebration. And sometimes we don't always think about that, but this meal over here with this table is... Oh, made a mess. Cloth's in the wash now, sorry. 3 or 4 ladies now scowling at me. This is a meal where we remember and we celebrate with the bread and the wine. It's kind of a party table, but it's a bit different, as we'll think about. Jesus, on Passover, so it's the night before he's going to be crucified, and he takes the bread and he takes the wine, and he says, "Remember me and remember what I've done." And the first thing he says to remember is, you tell me, the bread. Yeah, he talks about the bread. And he says it's like my body. So the first thing we need to remember is the bread. Jesus breaks the bread and he says, "This is my body, which is for you." And you know, sometimes it's a bit awkward breaking the bread because it doesn't break very well because it's all kind of stuck together. And it's quite hard when you're up the front here. You're sort of trying to rip it apart and it doesn't always work quite right. And you make lots of crumbs and lots of mess and you're not quite sure whether it's going to work at all because somebody perhaps hasn't cut it. But it's really good that there is that kind of effort in trying to rip the bread apart. You know, some churches, and I'm not criticizing them particularly, but some churches you have little kind of diced bits of bread, which is okay, and perhaps it's the best thing when you've got hundreds of people or something, but it doesn't really give you the idea of a loaf of bread, which is one loaf, which you then break apart. Because the idea is that you're breaking the bread to help us think about Jesus' body being broken. Jesus' words were, "This is my body, which is given for you," or "broken for you." And it's talking about the fact that he died, and it's talking about the fact that it was a painful death, and really the fact that his body was kind of ripped apart, that his body and his soul were split, and he died, like what happens to us when we die. At the cross that we remember at this special meal, Jesus' body was broken. And we're supposed to feel the pain of that, and to remember that it was a very hard thing for Jesus to have his body broken. It was a very painful thing, but he did it for us. So that's the bread. And the next thing is the wine. And what does the wine get us to think about? Somebody? Yes.
The blood.
The blood. Yeah, it gets us to think about the blood of Christ. And it gets us to think about the covenant, which means the agreement, the new deal between God and people. Some churches use normal wine, like anybody would use. Some churches use special communion wine, which tastes horrible. Some churches, like us, at the moment, we just use grape juice. It's not really important what's actually in there. It'd be a bit silly if it looked completely different. It looked like Coca-Cola or orange juice or something, but it's not so important precisely what's in there, as long as it's something like derived from grapes. But the point is, what does it teach us? And it teaches us about Jesus' blood, which sounds pretty serious, really, because it is serious. It connects us up with the idea that Jesus died a very violent death. His blood was shed, it was taken away. But it also teaches us that Jesus died willingly, giving up his life. And he gave up his life so we could have a new agreement between us and God. That's what he says about a new covenant in my blood. He says, as I am dying, I am making it possible for God to be your father and your friend. It's going to be a new deal, a new agreement that I'm kind of writing as I shed my blood. As I pour out my blood, I'm making a new agreement between you and God. I'm making it possible for God to be your father and your friend. And so when we break the bread apart, we think about Jesus' body being broken for us. And when we pour out into the glasses and when we drink the wine, we're thinking about Jesus giving up his life, dying, but dying with a purpose, so we could be friends with God. So who's it for? Oh, sorry, I got this the wrong way around, but let's go to the next one. Who's it for? Well, Jesus says, this is my body, which is given for you. And who's he talking to? Well, he's talking to his disciples, those people who were following him. And so really, the bread and the wine are for anyone who is a disciple of Jesus, anyone who's a true follower of Jesus, anyone who says, Jesus is my Savior, and Jesus is in charge of my life. Anyone who's part of what we call the body of Christ, the church, sometimes we call it that way. Anybody who's a Christian, this is a meal for you. You could ask the question, well, do I need to be baptized before I can take the bread and the wine? And the answer for this church, at least, is that no, you don't have to be baptized before you take the bread and the wine. The qualification is that you're a Christian who's following Jesus as Savior and Lord. But it's a good idea to be baptized if you think you're ready to take the bread and the wine. See, if you think you're a Christian, if you think you're following Jesus, then it's a really good idea to say, I want to be obedient to Jesus, and I want to be baptized. I want to take the bread and the wine, but also I want to be baptized. So it's not a rule that you have to be baptized, but it's a very good idea to think, well, if I'm ready to take the bread and the wine, that must mean that I'm also ready to be baptized. And then it'd be really clear that I'm following Jesus. I'm not talking to people who have the belief that it's okay to be baptized as an infant. I'm not talking to those kind of people here, but those of you here, perhaps adults, who take the bread and the wine and you haven't been baptized and you don't believe in infant baptism, then it's worth thinking, well, if I'm willing to take the bread and the wine, why aren't I willing to be baptized? Either I'm being disobedient or perhaps I'm not really a Christian. So it's worth thinking about that. There's never any obligation that anyone has to take the bread and the wine. It's not like a politeness thing that you really ought to take it as it's passed by, otherwise people will think you're rude. It's for Christians, for people who are following Jesus as Saviour and Lord. And if you're a child here this morning and you're thinking, well, I am following Jesus, perhaps I should take the bread and the wine. Well, it'd be very good if you were able to talk to your parents about that and to say, well, I think I might be ready to take the bread and the wine because I really am trusting Jesus as Saviour and Lord. And your parents would be delighted, I'm sure, to talk to you about that and to think where you're at and what you believe and to make sure that you understand what's going on. So I'm not encouraging any children to suddenly start taking the bread and the wine this morning, but for all of us to think, are we following Jesus? Do we understand the cross? Have we put our trust in Jesus? Would it be okay for us to take the bread and the wine sometimes? And maybe would it be okay for us to be baptized? Because we really are following Jesus as Saviour and Lord. That's the who. And if parents or children have got any questions about that, then please do ask me afterwards. It's worth saying that because it's an all-age service, we haven't got the question time at the end this morning. But we do have a bit of an extended question time this evening if you've got any questions about what I'm talking about this morning. So that's the who, should take the bread and the wine. The why. Why do you think we need the bread and the wine? Perhaps some of the children could give me an answer. Why do you think we need it? Sorry? To remember Jesus, yeah. And why do we need the reminders to remember Jesus? Anyone want to have a guess? Yes? Yes, Netta? Absolutely. We need to remember that he died for us. And why do you think we need to have these objects, the bread and the wine, to help us remember? You can't get into my head, can you? We need it because, you better finish this off, we easily, pardon? Yes, that's true as well. You won't be able to get into my head at all, will you? We easily forget. Yeah. We need the reminders because we really, really easily forget. Adults forget all kinds of things, don't they? They forget birthdays sometimes of their children or wedding anniversaries or other important things. Why are you smiling at your dad? Us adults forget all kinds of things, but what's really terrible is sometimes we forget about the cross, one of the most important things about the Christian faith, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And very often we forget. It doesn't mean that we forget it happened. Of course, that would be a real effort of forgetting, to forget everything about what Jesus did. But sometimes we just forget in the sense that we don't really think much about it. And we get involved in lots of other things, sometimes good things to do with church or our families. But we forget the central, most important thing, which is Jesus shedding his blood, breaking his body for us. So we need these things to help us remember. And it's for all those who are trusting in Jesus. There's two other things very quickly about the Lord's Supper or about the communion. It's remembering, but it's also proclaiming. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. What do we do at a birthday party sometimes, kind of at the end of the eating bit? We sing happy birthday. We often light these. I'm not going to light these because that would really cause a bit of a stir. But we could light these, we could sing happy birthday and blow them out. And that's like proclaiming to everybody that it's a birthday. It's like shouting out, happy birthday. Let's remember the birthday of so-and-so. Part of our celebration. And Paul says, that Jesus says, that every time you take the bread and the wine, you're remembering, but you're also proclaiming, which means you're kind of shouting out, Jesus died on the cross for sinners. Jesus died on the cross for me. That's what you're proclaiming. That's what you're making a big announcement about. Sometimes on your birthday, you might have a party. You might also want to tell people about it in some other way. So you might post something on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, or you might send a text to people to invite them to your special party, or somebody might ask for a record to be played, a song to be played on the radio. Do young people do that anymore? Is that kind of a, is that an old-fashioned thing now, asking for a request? I don't know. But anyway, some people do. Radio 2 listeners do. They're still in that kind of generation. So they say, you know, my wife, Gertie or whatever, she's 70 today, because most Radio 2 listeners are about that age. She's 70 today, and I'd like to say a very special, you know, I love her and all that kind of thing. They're proclaiming on the radio that it's so-and-so's birthday and that they're really special. And when we're taking the bread and the wine, we're not talking about a birthday, we're talking about a death day, but we're proclaiming it and we're saying, this is really special and I want to tell everybody. So when we're proclaiming it, we're telling each other. So the church meets together and takes the bread and the wine. It's not wrong to maybe sometimes take the bread and the wine on your own, if that's all you could do. If you're isolated as a Christian, it wouldn't be a wrong thing to do. But it's really a thing to do together as a church, because together we say to each other, the cross is really important. Jesus' death is really important, and it makes me clean. See, we're not just proclaiming the fact that Jesus died when we take the bread and the wine. We're saying when Jesus died, he made this new covenant. Sometimes we might come to this meal on a Sunday morning and we're wondering, am I really forgiven? Because I'm really bad. I've been a real sinner this week, more than normal. I've made lots of very silly mistakes this week and I've really let God down. And when we take the bread and the wine, we're saying to each other, yes, you are completely forgiven because Jesus gave his body for you and Jesus shed his blood for you. So we're certainly saying that to each other as Christians, but we're also saying it to everyone. People who are not Christians, who are in our meeting this morning, what we're saying to you is that Jesus' blood and Jesus' body broken is the most important thing to us. And it makes it possible that we can be friends with God. And we're proclaiming that. We're shouting it out. And we're saying it's really important. It's the most important thing you would ever know about. Jesus dying on the cross for sinners. So we're proclaiming it to ourselves as Christians. And we're proclaiming it to everyone. And then the last thing we're doing is anticipating. We're anticipating. It's a solemn celebration. It's a funny way of putting it, really. It's a solemn celebration. Because all the time we're looking back, we're also looking forward. You see, Paul says that Jesus says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And then Jesus also says, Matthew tells us this, Jesus also says, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine," that's the wine, "from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." So it's a solemn celebration because although we're celebrating like you do at a birthday, we're celebrating a death, and it's a serious thing that Jesus died because our sin was so big that he had to give up his life. So it's a solemn thing. But it is a celebration because his death gives us new life. But it's also a celebration that's not complete. It's not everything that it should be. We know that Jesus is with us. By the Holy Spirit, he lives in us and he's present with us as we meet together. But he's not with us in his body. And it's not like it's going to be in the future. So when we're taking the bread and the wine, we're looking back, but we're also looking forward because Jesus says one day there's going to be a massive party, a great celebration, sometimes called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jesus says, then you will celebrate and there won't be any end to it. You know, like that feeling, perhaps just at the very beginning of Christmas or the beginning of your birthday or just as a holiday time starts, Just imagine if you had that feeling and that experience that didn't come to an end. You see, birthday parties come to an end, and actually, the older you get, celebrating your birthday becomes more of a looking back and less of a looking forward, doesn't it? There are lots of memories, but maybe not quite so much to do in the future. And birthdays, in a way, become very happy celebrations of God's goodness for many years, but they also kind of mark the fact that we're getting older and older. And in our birthdays, we don't particularly look forward to getting older. But when we take the bread and the wine, of course, we mark the years that we've been doing it. We look back to what Jesus did, but we look forward. And we don't look forward thinking, I'm just going to get older and older and things are going to get worse and worse. We look forward and say, there is going to be a great, amazing celebration when we are united with God in the new heavens and the new earth, and there will be a great celebration then. And that's what we say to each other, that we do this until he comes. We have this solemn celebration until Jesus comes back and takes us to be with him forever. We celebrate, but we celebrate thinking this is not it. This is not everything. This life is not everything. This meal is not everything. Because then Jesus will truly be with us and Jesus will celebrate with us and it will be perfect and it will be unending. And we're thinking about all those things when we take the bread and the wine. It's a great thing that we're able to do this often. We look back, we look at ourselves now, and we look forward. It's an act of remembering, we look back. It's an act of proclaiming, we say to everybody, Jesus' blood was shed, Jesus' body was broken, so we could be friends with God. And we anticipate the day, we look forward to the fact that Jesus will come back and take us to be with him. So we're looking in all those directions, and that's what the bread and the wine are all about. Remembering, proclaiming, and looking forward.